Well, Acts chapter number 8, starting with verse number 26. Of course, I understand you guys have a great preacher here as your pastor, and you've had great preaching here ever since Pastor Ross started this church. So I'm sure I'm not going to say anything that you hadn't heard before. But if you're like me, I just need to hear it again. Amen? And I need to hear it again to keep reminding myself of what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm going to preach out of Acts chapter number 8, starting with verse 26. And we're not going to read all the way down here, but we'll look at some verses as we go here. In Acts chapter number 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now let me just stop and say that this Gaza mentioned in the Bible here is the same Gaza that we hear about all the time. Some people pronounce it Gaza, but it's the Gaza Strip over there in Israel, the one that unfortunately we pressured Israel to give to the Palestinians. That's the same place that this story right here took place. Verse 27 says, "And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." And I'm just going to preach tonight on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So I don't have any kind of fancy titles. My messages are pretty simple. And this is a tremendous story here that God gave us. And we can see several things in here that if we'll do these same things that Philip did, then we can reach people out there just like this Ethiopian eunuch. Father, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity to be here. And thank you for the testimony this church has and Pastor Jerry has and his family. And I pray you'll bless them in California and let them just get a blessing this week and be able to come back here, Lord, and be able to tell about what all you have done there in California. I pray, God, you'd meet with us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this is a very simple story, but it's an amazing story. Because here you have a man named Philip, and this man here was already preaching the Word of God, but God saw a man from Ethiopia. Now, if you look at a map or a globe, Ethiopia is a long way from Jerusalem. Ethiopia is in Africa, and this man, the Bible says, made that trip from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem, the Bible says, for to worship. That simply means this man was looking for God. Amen? Way down there in Ethiopia, he had heard that if he got to Jerusalem, he could find God. Well, that's a long trip, and it wasn't by any kind of transportation we would use today. It was by chariots and by donkeys, and so they made that long journey. This man did not find God, but he found Isaiah chapter number 53. And he was riding back in his chariot down here in this Gaza area, going back home, sitting there, reading one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, but not understanding that. And so God sends this man Philip over there because he knew that Philip would tell him the gospel, amen, would preach the gospel to him. Now I just want to look at a few things here tonight. First of all, his charge. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go." God gave Philip a charge, and that was to arise and go. If you're going to arise, that means to get up. Amen? Get up and go. That shows some action. See, God didn't want us just sitting around in our blessed assurance all the time. He wants us to be doing something. Amen? And it's exciting to hear about what all God's doing right here and what you guys are trying to do here. That's exciting. But I'm telling you this, all churches are not like that. There's churches that we go into now, they used to have bus ministries, and they used to go soul winning every week and try to win people to the Lord, and they're not doing that anymore. They've just kind of given up on it. But hey, our charge hasn't changed, amen? We've got the same charge God gave Philip. And that is to arise and go. We call it the Great Commission. Jesus Christ himself said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I don't like the United Nations. You probably don't either. I sure enough don't like paying most of the bills for it. Amen. But if you look at the United Nations website, and they got all kind of, they keep population statistics and things like that. The last time I checked it, it said that the world's population was increasing by about 90 million people a year. One time I checked it before that, it was about 100 million. The last time it was about 90 million. So if it's 90, if the world's population is increasing by 90 million a year, I think that's about 7.5 million a month. 7.5 million more people being added to the world's population every month. And the world's population right now has already surpassed 7 billion people. 7 billion. I read the news and I hear that the government is spending, you know, billions and billions and billions. But to us normal folks, billions don't even register. I mean, a billion is 1,000 times 1 million. That's a lot, isn't it? So you'd have to count 7,000 times to 1 million to get 7 billion. And there's more people than that that live in the world. And there's about 7.5 million more people being added to the world's population every single month. Our charge has not changed. Our charge is still to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I really think Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I really, really do. Brother Jerry is taking a group over. He's taking a tour to Israel 18 years now. And he's not going to be able to continue to do that, so he's asked us to take over that part of the ministry. And I've had the privilege of going to Israel 3 times. We went back in March. We had 47 people on our trip in March with us. And I'm telling you, if you want to go on a trip that will literally change your life, go to Israel. I'm telling you, as you read the Bible, Brother Jerry has said for years that going to Israel and reading the Bible is like this. Before you go, as you read your Bible, it's like reading it in black and white. And then after you go there and you read your Bible, it's like reading it in full color. I'm telling you, it's just absolutely amazing. But the Lord left from the Mount of Olives there, which is, of course, the Mount of Olives is, let's just say this right here is the old city right here. And here would be the eastern gate right here, about like right in here. This would be the pinnacle of the temple, and then, of course, the wall goes this way. This would be the Kidron Valley right in here, and then right on the other side of that valley would be the Mount of Olives right over here. It's not just one mount. It's actually kind of a mountain range over here. But that's where the Lord, of course, left to go back to heaven, and that's where he's coming back. And that's where he gave, in Acts chapter number 1, verse 8, that's where he said, right before he left, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, amen, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's what he said. Well, back this year, Easter and Passover were right at the same time. That doesn't happen every year. But right at the end of March and then the beginning of April, in the city of Jerusalem, the old city. Now, the whole city of Jerusalem is not the old city. There's about 600,000 people that live in Jerusalem. But the old city is divided into 4 different parts. And one of those parts is called the Jewish Quarter. In the Jewish Quarter is located it's called the Temple Institute, or the Treasures of the Temple. That's also a name for it. And that is where they have, now, nobody knows where the Ark of the Covenant is, and there's lots of speculation on where it's at, and people have been looking for that thing for a long time. They don't have another Ark of the Covenant, but they have everything else ready to go into the Third Temple. I mean, all of it. I've seen it with my own eyes, saw it again in March. They've got the robes there on display. You can go see it. They've got all the utensils that they'll use on the altar when they, of course, start the sacrificial system again. And I'm telling you, man, it is amazing. Well, the head rabbi, and of course, these people aren't even saved. The head rabbi at Passover time took out advertisements that were on 200 city buses in Jerusalem. And I don't know the exact wording of it, but the advertisement was about, and it said something like this to the Jewish people: now is the time to rebuild the Third Temple. Just back in April, 200 city buses in Jerusalem running around with advertisements, now is the time to rebuild the temple. And that rabbi said, and this is a direct quote, "We wait with bated breath for the coming of our Messiah." Isn't that something? Their Messiah is our Messiah, amen? Now, we're not looking for him to come the first time. We're looking for him to come back, amen? But hey, listen, folks, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. You cannot read this book and then pick up the newspaper or look at the news and not see that all of this is lining up just like it said it would. And of course, we know that the Lord comes back in the second coming, amen? We know the rapture 7 years before that. So, man, hey, literally at any moment we could be taken out of here. That's exciting, amen? But I tell you this, it makes us realize that this charge that the Lord gave Philip and that he gave us must be fulfilled now. What we're going to do for Christ, we've got to do it now. We can't wait on our children to fulfill it. We can't wait till our grandkids grow up. And we can't ever get to the point where we say, well, I'm too old to do this or too old to do that. Hey, until we meet the Lord, we got to stay in the race. And we got to finish the race. We got to race until the very last minute, until we can't run anymore, amen, until we meet the Lord. Well, we see the charge that the Lord gave Philip, arise and go. Then number two in this message, we see, verse 27, his obedience. The Bible says, and he arose and went. Isn't that something? Have any of you ever heard something? I've heard something like this before. I've been visiting people, talking to them, and I've heard people make this statement. Well, we don't use that old King James Bible, man, that old archaic English in there. That's just so hard to understand. Now, I'm from Texas, and I can understand this. Arise and go, and he arose and went. Amen? In Texas, we'd say God told him to get up and go, and he got up and went. Amen? That's probably how y'all say it up here too, right? Hey, listen, the fact is, it's not that hard to understand what the Bible is talking about. He's talking about the fact he gave us a charge and we got to get up and go. And then we see that Philip just got up and went. He just obeyed. He didn't argue about it, didn't offer excuses about it, didn't tell the Lord he was already busy doing something else. He just got up and went. That's how we ought to obey. Hey, when God tells us to do something, that's what we ought to do. When I was 19 years old, I was 17 years old, I went in the U.S. Army. And there was another guy that went in the Army same day that I did. I didn't even know this other guy. But we were together for 3 years, our tour of duty, and he was saved and loved the Lord. And I grew up in a church that was a Southern Baptist church, but man, I remember going golfing with my dad. I could never golf, but I was a kid. I remember going golfing with him and the pastor would be smoking, put a cigarette down, you know, and then swing, pick it back up. I mean, there was no separation, no godly living, nothing. I never saw anything like that. This 17-year-old was the first guy I'd ever seen in my life that said he was saved, that actually lived like I figured a Christian's supposed to live. Well, being around that guy for 3 years rubbed off, amen? I got saved. And then God called both of us to preach, and we went to Bible college together, graduated together after 4 years, and that guy's been a missionary in Argentina for years and years and years. But I did not really understand all what God was doing when he did that. But the Bible says that he obeyed. Oh, Joe, he was the guy that I went in the army with. He just obeyed the Lord. He just did what God told him and was faithful to witness to me and to tell me about the Lord. And I'm glad he did because I got saved. Hey, listen, folks. When God tells us to do something, we just need to do it. I remember there, we was in the army. We took leave. We actually went to a youth conference in Hammond, Indiana. That was years and years ago, back about 1977. I remember there were 5,000 teenagers there that year. And I remember being in the Civic Center, and I remember the preacher preaching and saying, God is calling some of you young men to preach. And I mean, just as plain as day, Brother Jonathan, God said, I want you to be a preacher. And I never thought about being a preacher. I mean, it never crossed my mind. I went in the Army, so when I got out, I'd get my GI Bill, and then I could go do something and have a good career in life. That was my goal. But I'm glad that I just said, yes, sir, if that's what you want me to do. And that's been 33 years ago now, and I'm glad. Yes, listen, hey, when God tells us to do something, we just need to do it. Amen? We just need to do it. And then that brings us to the third thing, and that is simply this: his enthusiasm. We see his charge. We see his obedience. We see his enthusiasm. Verse number 29, again, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip," look at this, verse 30, "and Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." You know, here's what's exciting to me. Philip didn't really even know exactly where he was going, because that was desert out there. God just said, Philip, go that direction, and Philip went that direction. You know, here's what I've seen after being in the ministry now for quite a while and working with young people in Bible college and there at the boys' ranch and things like that. I have seen that sometimes young people, and not only young people, but older folks too, want God to lay it all out for them. Something like this. God's dealing with somebody, and somebody will say something like this: well, Lord, I've got kind of everything planned out the way I want to go. So, Lord, if you'll show me how everything's going to work out. What about retirement? What about this? And what about health insurance? And what about this? And what about that? And I'm not saying we're not supposed to think about those things. I'm just simply saying that people want God to show them how everything's going to work out. And then here's the attitude they have: you show me how all that's going to work out, and then I'll let you know whether I'm going to do it or not.
Yeah.
It's not the way God works. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Not the way God works. I'll tell you how it is with the Lord. God, if God's telling us to do something, God will give us, well, he'll show us what he wants us to do, and then he's not going to show us all of it, maybe, but he'll show us enough where we can go ahead and take that first step.
Yep.
Then after he does that, then he'll give us enough light to take the next step. It would be something like this. If we were to turn all these lights out here, and when it gets good and dark out here, I wouldn't be walking around out here because I don't know my way around. But if I had a light, then I could get where I was going. The other day, about a month ago, we were in Nebraska, and we were driving through Nebraska, and I didn't realize this, but Nebraska, right there on Interstate 80, way over by Colorado, that just happens to be the headquarters for Cabela's. Anybody know what Cabela's is? Amen. So it just happened. I mean, we had time, so we just happened to stop by there. Amen. We have a motorhome, and we can stay in Walmart parking lots, which we do a lot. It's free to stay there. And so we parked in a Walmart parking lot right there by Cabela's and went to Cabela's the next day. Amen? But I saw some lights there, like flashlights, I mean like big ones, that were 5 million candle watt power. I think that's what they call it, candle watts. That's a lot, man. You could shine that thing from here to Oklahoma and probably see down there. 5 million. You know, you don't have to have a light that big. If I had just a little bitty light, it might not shine to the back door, but it might shine right there. And if I just had a little bitty light, I could shine it right there, and guess what? I could take that step and not break my neck. And then guess what? After I took that one, the light would shine just a little bit further, and I could take the next step. And just a little bit at a time, one step at a time, I could get to wherever I was going. And that's probably the way the Lord's going to work it with you. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do, and he wants you to take that first step. Pastor Ross, I bet back in 1972, I believe, you started this work. Is that correct? 1973. I bet you didn't ever realize what God was going to do. And the reason I say that is because Brother Jerry, my father-in-law, says, when I started this work, we started it to help some boys. I had no idea what God would do. But your Pastor Ross here, and then my pastor, Brother Jerry, they just stepped out by faith and took that first step. And then as God let them know more, they took the next step. And then look at this right here, amen? Look at Calvary Boys Ranch. Isn't that amazing? And God will do the same thing for us. That's exactly what Philip did. God gave him enough light and said, Philip, go that direction. And Philip went that direction. Then as he was going, God directed him to that chariot. Isn't that amazing? Here's that chariot going out there, and Philip just happens to intersect that chariot at the right time. Isn't that something? God's always right on time. And if you and I will do it God's way, it'll always work out the way God wants it to. So Philip sees that chariot, Holy Spirit says, go right over there, Philip. And the Bible says, and Philip ran thither to him. I think Philip was excited, amen. Here he is out here in the desert, not knowing exactly why or where he was going, and here's the reason right here. And Philip runs beside the chariot there. I don't know, maybe the chariot stopped. But as he was going there, he asked this man if he understood what he was reading. And the man said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I don't think he had to say twice, would you get up here with me? I think Philip hopped right up there in that chariot, amen. And then we see number four, his message. The Bible says, verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. Then you see these next 32 and 33 are quotes from Isaiah chapter number 53. So he's riding along reading Isaiah chapter 53. Then verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We see his charge, we see his obedience, we see his enthusiasm, and we see his message. What did he preach? Jesus Christ. That's what the world's got to hear. Jesus Christ. That's what those 7.5 million more people being added to the world every month, that's what they've got to hear. Do you know when you pass out a gospel tract, I carry English and carry Spanish with me both. Do you know when you pass out a gospel tract, you are actually giving out the word of God? And God can take that gospel right there and he can save people with that. I've got a good friend in Brazil who's been a BIMI missionary for over 20 years that got saved because he came out, he was a teenager, he came out of a little shopping mall place. Somebody had went through there and put a track under the windshield wiper of every car in that parking lot. He got that track, threw it in the back of his car. He said a couple of months later, he cleaned out his car, ran across that track, sat down and read it and prayed the prayer. Came to the church. This is when we were working there in Oklahoma City. Came to the church we were at. Of course, it had our name on it, information on it, and said, I did what this little gospel tract says to do. Now what am I supposed to do? He got baptized, became very faithful. God called him to preach. He went to Bible college 4 years. God gave him a good wife. They've been in Brazil for over 20 years starting independent fundamental Baptist churches because somebody put a gospel tract under his window. Under his windshield wiper. I'm telling you this, folks, you ought to pass these things out. You ought to pass them out at the gas station. You ought to pass them out everywhere you go. And I'm telling you this, I try to pass them out because I will probably never see that person again. I was at a gas station today somewhere in Illinois, and I gave two out to two different people there. And I'm not trying to lift myself up as an example. I'm just saying this. I just know this. What if one of these days we're in heaven, and that person that was right beside of me at the gas pump goes to hell. And I have to give an account for that when I was right beside of him and all I had to do was hand him a gospel tract and the man would have got saved. Boy, you think about that. They might not ever have another chance to get saved except that opportunity that we have to give him a gospel tract. Now, I'm just telling you this. My personal experience is probably 99% of everybody you give one to will take it. Every once in a while, somebody won't, but that's okay. That's all right. I think 99% of people will take it. Why? What are we doing? We're giving out the main message, and that's the message of Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs to hear. The Bible still says that if a person doesn't repent of their sins and by faith trust Christ as their Savior, when they die, they will go right straight to hell. Now, we were missionaries in Mexico for many years, and of course the Catholics teach purgatory, but that's what they made up, so they could be a money-making operation, but it's not in the Bible, amen? When you die, you go that direction or you go that direction, one of the two. And so the world still needs to hear the message that Philip preached that day. And then lastly of all, you see his blessing. Verse 36, 37, 38, and 39 tell us that this man got saved. Not only did he get saved, but he got baptized. Philip got to baptize this guy. Not only did he get saved and baptized, but verse 39 says this, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This old guy had taken a trip to Jerusalem to find God. Didn't find God in Jerusalem, but found him in the desert. Amen? Because of Philip. Philip had a charge. Philip obeyed. Philip got excited about it. And Philip preached to this man, Jesus Christ. And now he gets to lead this man to the Lord, gets to baptize him, and see this man go back home rejoicing. Amen. Now I'm telling you this, if you and I realize we have a charge, which we do, it's called the Great Commission, and we'll obey like Philip did, which is what we're supposed to do, and we'll get excited about it, amen, and we'll preach Jesus, God will let us get in on the blessings just like he did this man. If you'll study church history, you'll find out that a great revival took place in the country of Ethiopia after this story took place. We have no record of Christ ever going to Ethiopia. We have no record of the apostles ever going to Ethiopia. But we have record of one Ethiopian going back home to Ethiopia that had been saved and was excited about it. I think God used this man right here to bring a great revival amongst his own people. And you know, hey, I've met lots of Ethiopians before that are saved. There's a lot of Ethiopians living in the United States of America. And I've met them before that said that they're saved. Well, praise the Lord. One of the reasons they're saved is because this old boy took the gospel back home there to Ethiopia. Amen? I'm telling you, what a story. Just a simple story. We have one man that was available to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. God gave him a charge and he obeyed it. He got excited about it. He preached Jesus Christ. And Philip, you ladies like to cut coupons out. Philip's still cutting coupons. Amen? Because there's still Ethiopians being saved today. Amen? So praise the Lord. Hey, you know what's exciting? Here we are in 2010. We have the same charge. We can obey the same way. We can get excited like Philip did. We can preach Jesus Christ. And we can see people saved. And we can see them baptized. And we can see God send them to the mission field like you've seen right here out of your church. Like we've seen right there at Calvary Boys Ranch. Those boys come in there and they're devils, some of them, when they come. Then God gets a hold of them and saves them. They get baptized. They get excited about doing something with their life. Then they go off to the missions field somewhere, or they go to a church and become a faithful layman or a deacon or a good dad. And man, isn't that exciting? And when we do our part, then we have a part in what God's doing. I'm telling you, we live in exciting times. Jesus Christ is coming back. People are open to the gospel, and we have a chance to give them the gospel, see them get saved. And man, what a blessing. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Are you saved tonight? Maybe you're like that Ethiopian eunuch. Maybe you're looking for God. Well, if you're saved, you're in the right place to find him. If you're not saved, you're in the right place to find him. Amen? You can be saved tonight before you leave this building. You can be 100% for sure that if you were to die tonight, that you'd go to heaven. Then let me ask you a question. You got a charge. I'm sure you understand that. Are you obeying that charge? Are you excited about it? The world's looking for some folks that are excited about being saved. Amen? Hey, the devil's crowd, they're usually excited about what they're doing. You and I need to be excited about what we're doing. And then we need to be preaching Jesus. Are you preaching Jesus? Are you passing out tracts? Are you doing everything you can to get this message to those that have never heard? And then I bet we could stand here all night long and hear those that are give testimonies about all the blessings that they've received from the Lord. I want to get in on the blessings of God, and here's a way that we can do it. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved, and God will save you. Here we have a story that shows us how much the Lord really does love sinners. And here we have a story to show us that God can use us the same way as He used this man right here in the Bible to reach those folks that are looking for the Lord. Father, I pray that during this invitation, you'd speak to hearts. And I pray you'll help all of us, Lord, to realize again tonight that we have a charge. And I pray, God, that we would obey. I pray we'd be excited about it. I pray that we'd be about the business of preaching Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you'll let us get in on the blessings of folks getting saved and baptized and then reaching others for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother